This episode is brought to you by ChoiceRealtyConnect.com. Whether you're buying or selling a home, get matched with up to three top selling agents in your area. ChoiceRealtyConnect.com. Welcome, rock stars, Washington, D.C. This is Rock of the Money Podcast, episode 58. I'm talking about saving, investing, and protecting all those hard-earned monies. We're here to coach you along your path to retirement and financial independence. I'm Craig, your Dave Ramsey Master Financial Coach, along with Amanda, an award-winning corporate in-house lawyer and real estate agent. We're so grateful you joined us. Calls for your questions, comments, 989-888-ROCK. Check us out on Facebook at Rock on the Money or our website at rockonthemoney.com. What's up?
Why are you laughing about award winning?
You're award winning. That's awesome. Yeah. Amanda, yes. For everybody out there, Amanda, share with me where she works, her little team. Little team of how many people?
We have four in-house lawyers.
You guys got like what? In-house team of the year or something?
Georgia in-house legal department of the year. Yeah.
I want an award-winning part of my intro, but I guess you have to work to be able to do that. So,
probably, yeah. Mm.
Anything else going on?
Well, it's been a really rough week. It's end of the quarter because we're an award-winning team, so we're very busy. So, as a result, and this is a shout out to our coffee sponsor. I'm normally a tea drinker, but it's been so rough that I've had coffee this week. In fact, I have a cup now. So if you hear me slurping, that's what it is. It's really good.
Matter of fact, we have a bunch of new people coming on board. They're more affiliates. We have a load of them. So we're going to make a deals page on our website. And they're exclusive deals, like with Kind. You know, the Kind bars and snacks.
Yeah, I love them.
You can get like free shipping and 25% off with our code.
Somebody once, there's one day out of the year, I don't even know which day it is, but it's like Love Your Lawyer Day.
Yes.
And somebody once sent me a Kind bar on Love Your Lawyer Day. Wow. Because it's like, be kind to lawyers or something. I don't know, because we get such a bad rap. Mm.
That's almost like giving someone a Snickers bar.
Yeah.
You get the joke.
Right. Yeah, the commercials are funny.
What do we got on this? What do we got on this podcast? I've done that before, by the way. Go ahead.
Ouch. So if I get a Snickers bar from you, it's because I'm a little too cranky.
I know not to do any of that with you. No way, Jose. No way. We need you around.
Frankly, I probably wouldn't care. I'd be like, yeah, thanks for the candy bar. I like candy bars.
That's what I do. When someone throws it at me, I'm like, I'll eat it.
So note to our listeners, if you want to send me any presents or candy or flowers, that's all fine by me.
Now they're all going to ask for your address. How's that going to work out for you?
Well, I'm not sure I want a stalker. We need a generic place to send it.
That's why all these streamers have P.O. boxes in a different city than they live.
Put that to do on your to-do list.
Oh,
Craig.
My God. All right.
No. All right. So this episode, we have some social media questions right up front and center. Mm-hmm. We've got our topic today is revisiting our COVID-19 money plan. Oh, I'm glad you're bringing this up.
Yes.
Our savvy savings segment today are 7 ways to be a savvy shopper.
Oh, savvy savings with savvy shopping. I really wanted to revisit our COVID-19 money plan, because it appears things are starting to fall apart out there. They were before. That didn't sound right. But we're starting to get more information about how financial situations in the houses are starting to really start go downhill. And we really need to revisit this.
Oh, I thought you were just talking about the fact that, the cases are astronomically increasing.
Well, here's what tipped
it
off.
I live in Florida, so I'm keenly aware of the exponential growth of cases right now. Okay,
because of you in Texas and Arizona, I had to sell some stocks this week, and I'm bought
back in. Remember I had this trip to Ireland planned in April, and then I postponed it to October. Now the EU is going to start blocking travel from the US while they let everyone else in. So I don't know. We'll see what happens by October. And I have very little faith that this trip is ever going to happen.
On top of that, the CDC just tweeted out like 12 hours ago that if you're doing international travel, Don't expect to come back.
I'm okay with that. Okay.
There you go.
Yeah, it's not so great here in the U.S. right now.
The big reason I wanted to do the COVID-19 money plan, which we created back in March, when Chuck E. Cheese files for bankruptcy.
I know. That's sad.
It just got real, man.
That does make me sad because that was the place to be when you were a kid, you know?
Like, yeah. Well, they're not. It's Chapter 11 and they're only shutting down certain locations, but they just need protection. So if things don't change quickly, I mean, which it does look like now.
Well, I mean, frankly, Chuck E. Cheese was always a like a petri dish.
You know? Exactly. How is that any different than flu season or chicken pox or anything else?
Yeah,
but anyway.
Yeah. But now especially they're in danger. But yeah, I tell you what, they have great pizza.
Everyone keeps saying that. Can I go? Well, I don't know if I can go to the one down the street here, but it wasn't on the list to be closed. But yeah, can you do takeout pizza?
I have no idea, but I've taken like my nieces and nephews there and just sat and eaten the pizza. They have a salad bar, but I'm like, well, why on earth would I get a salad bar? I don't have that kind of willpower to go to get a salad when I eat out.
Well, ever since the story came out, everyone keeps talking about how great their pizza is. I can't remember. I mean, my kids are old now. I haven't been to Chuck E. Cheese's in decades.
Yeah, I think when I was younger, it was just like Jack's frozen pizza probably that they tossed in. It was like thin crust, you know, but over the years, it's really good. Anyway.
That's crazy. Hey, question number one, because it's real estate related.
Okay.
Well, kind of. I am 21 years old and looking to buy a house. My only debt is a car payment. I am currently looking for a 4-to-5 bedroom. Holy crap. So that I can rent out the rooms to my friends and knock out my mortgage before I'm 30. Hmm. Okay. Any advice or things to be cautious of in my situation?
So right off the bat, the 4-to-5 bedrooms scares me.
It does. I mean, I have that.
Especially if you're planning to rent to friends. Getting into business with friends or family is always a bad idea.
I will go with you on that one.
Yeah. So I that scares me because it's so easy for it. You know, what happens if they get hard up on their luck? Are you going to let them skate by without paying you rent and then you're on the hook for the entire mortgage? Or are you going to kick your friend out of the house and, you know, they're already out of luck and no job and now they have no place to live? I mean, play out those scenarios in your head and think about how you'd handle them. If you can afford to carry the entire rent on your own, then I say go for it. And that's your long-term plan because you plan on getting married and having kids and filling all those bedrooms with your own family someday and you're just, you know, setting yourself up for that. That's fine long term, but it scares me when your plan is to rent out to friends.
I do appreciate that this person is 21 years old and they're already thinking financial literacy and long term. Yeah. I do appreciate that. I mean, as a car payment, you know, I get that. Probably did before he really was focused on this, but I totally agree. When you start renting with friends and family, and well, can you hold me off for another month? I wouldn't do that.
Personally, if it were me, I would do what most people do. And first of all, I love the idea of house hacking, right? Like, I think that's a great idea. You know, and I don't know, for those people who don't know what house hacking is, it's where you find a way to have someone else pay for the place you're living in one way or another. So sometimes people buy like a duplex and they rent out the other half and that person's rent covers the mortgage payment on the entire duplex, for example.
So that's the term for that. I've never heard that. That's cool.
Yeah. Yeah. Or sort of like in this situation where the plan is to buy a house with more bedrooms and then rent out the other rooms and the rent covers it. That's another example. I mean, we've done it before. Like, I think I mentioned on one of our recent episodes, I think it was the last one.
There's TV shows. I think there's one HGTV. They buy a house for that purpose and they renovate. Oh, yeah. I can't remember what it was called, but that's what they never use that term. I've watched the show a bunch of times and anyway.
Yeah. With that handy little guy, that handy guy who's like finding them rental place or places like when they could turn into a rental unit in their house.
Like the downstairs is the rental and they live upstairs.
Yeah.
And
their rent is covered. Another example of house hacking. We've done it before. I think I mentioned before we had bought this townhouse in Georgia when my husband was going to a military training for like 9 months. and we bought it. It was a foreclosure in rough condition. So we planned to fix it up and sell it after the 9 months. And he had three other guys living with him and then, and they were all paying rent for the rooms, and it completely covered the mortgage and the expenses for that place.
And it worked out.
And it worked out. I mean, but in this case, these are military people who
disciplined and
they're disciplined. You know, you can always report them to their superior. It's a big deal. And their income stable. So these were other guys who are married as well. And, you know, just needed a room basically while they were at training, you know, so they're already responsible. They weren't like partiers or anything. And, you know, military income is very stable for this 21-year-old. I mean, depending on what his friends do and looking at the economy right now, that income may or may not be stable.
Okay.
If it were me at 21, I think I started to say this and didn't finish. I would look at a starter home and, you know, 2 to 3 bedrooms. 3 bedrooms with 2 bathrooms is the most common home that resells really well to other families for starter homes. So I would definitely look in that range. They're very easily resold. So you can get out of it in a couple of years when you're ready to move up to this 4 to 5 bedrooms. So look for 3 bedrooms, 2 bathrooms. Very popular.
Awesome.
And then you can still rent out the other 2 bedrooms if you want.
Next question. I am currently in the Public Service Loan Forgiveness Program, PSLF, and I only have 1 year and 9 months left until all the student loans are forgiven. I know hurt on somebody's questions before I even
show. Well, in this case, my heart hurts for this person.
Okay. I know Dave Ramsey says, don't count on this program to pay off your loans, but I just started listening to Dave Ramsey about a month ago and I'm almost to the end. So I'm taking my chances to have over 100,000 forgiven. Has anybody had their loans forgiven or denied in this program?
Yeah. So 99% of people who submit for their forgiveness and believe that they've followed every single rule and jumped through every hoop of the program have been denied.
Yep.
99%. And I'm not making that stat up. It's a fact.
Yep. That's a fact. And anybody
only
you want
granted 1% of those forgiveness.
You can Google that and it comes up everywhere.
Yeah, it's really shady what's happening there. I'm not going to get into the politics of it, but
there are politics. You're right. Yes, that does exist. The other thing is you have to do everything perfect, even if you want a chance. If you slip up one little way, remember, it's a government program.
Your loan has to be a specific type of federal loan. You can't consolidate it. You have to file every single year and have it certified that you're still working in the public space. There are a lot of hoops to jump through, and people who have even followed all those hoops are still getting their applications denied.
Yeah.
So I would not count on it, unfortunately. I mean, it's really, really a sad situation. It was a great program when it came out. I think that the government severely underestimated how many people would be eligible or apply for it and are kind of freaking out about, well, where would this money come from?
Okay. We have not discussed this, you and I, in Messenger or anything, but here's something I want to add on. This is a good opportunity. When people are paying off their debt snowball, which includes student loans, okay? Yeah. I would like our people, if you have federal student loans, the date of this podcast, we're in the end of June, going to July. I would like them to only pay the minimums on that right now. Put the extra money that you would pay to the federal, put that the way in the bank account. You know why I'm saying this.
Well,
I'm like,
most of them are deferred right now anyway.
Right. And with the election coming up, I'm not being political here. There is a chance. You're saying there's a chance. Yeah. There's a chance that if Biden does get elected, he came out this past week and said that they would make it a high priority, top priority, to forgive the federal student loans. It's not your private loans, but the federal. Because there is that chance, I would rather them not pay extra on the federal student loans at this point until we know more in November. Does that make any sense?
Especially if you have other consumer debt that you could be paying down.
Absolutely.
Quickly.
And typically these loans have a lower interest rate, but I would like pause.
I might disagree with you on that.
Oh, really?
The federal ones are really kind of outrageous.
Oh, okay. I'm not familiar with those, but does that make sense, though?
It's funny that this question came up because my plan was to put together a savvy savings segment. And well, it was for one of these episodes, but I didn't quite get to it. I'm planning to put together a savvy savings segment specifically on student loans.
Oh, good.
So I agree with all of your advice, Craig. I also think that if you already have a private student loan, now is a great time to refinance it.
Yes. And we're actually working with a company now, talking with them. It's somebody that we can send people to. So hopefully soon we can have a good place to send people to incorporate into our program.
A credible one. Reliable.
Right. Lender. And I'm doing that with life insurance. We're trying to find, that's a very common thing that shows up with our coaching, Amanda, and questions. People will say, well, where should I go? And I don't have a place that I feel comfortable with. So we are working on that. I will feel better if I know where they're going because we vetted them out. So yeah. Dave Ramsey and everybody else, everybody has a place. So anyway,
there's only a few more months until we find out what's going to happen with these federal loans as well. Right. The federal loan interest rates are just outrageous. They're always a few points higher than what any other loan you could get is. If it were me, I wouldn't wait because I wouldn't count on this forgiveness program. Mm-hmm. I would consolidate everything and refinance and get a super low rate and just knock it out. But I mean, 100 grand is a really large amount. So I also might be willing to take my chances that it'd be fully forgiven.
I can tell you what Dave Ramsey will say.
If you consolidate it, you're not eligible. So don't do that if you are planning to seek forgiveness.
And you're really gambling by paying those higher rates wherever you're at before you consolidate them. Yeah. So Dave Ramsey would tell you, knock them out. That's his answer. So
that's what I think, too. I mean, I know it's controversial. Student tuition is outrageous. There's no reason tuition should cost so much. But anyway, that's a topic for another day.
We should next week talk about that college coming up this fall. We can spend like a minute on this, but if you are going to a major university and going to say, hey, we're just going to do these courses online.
Yeah.
I mean, really, do you need to be paying full tuition just to say, hey, I'm going to, I don't know where, some big major high cost university to take an online course? To me,
you want to hear something funny?
That's
so
crazy.
My son's in college, and his university normally charges an extra online fee if you take your class online instead of in person.
Come on, give me a break. Really?
I know.
It costs less. That makes no sense.
I know. It's like some kind of extra. I thought, wow, that's crazy. Obviously, they waived it right now because of the situation.
Yeah. But you see what I'm saying about that? Extra. I mean, if you can get the same course doing somewhere else and it still works with your degree, I mean, that's just, these universities are like that. It's another fee and commission.
For undergrad, I agree with Dave Ramsey on this. For undergrad, no one cares. No one gives a crap where your degree is from.
Nope. No. My daughter got, you can go to all these online places like WGU or whatever. You don't have to pay a lot to get your bachelor's. I mean, that's crazy. No one cares.
I mentioned before, I teach online classes for an online university.
Really? I know you don't want to say where it is. I didn't realize it was one of the online universities.
Yeah. Well, so I can say it. It's Southern New Hampshire University. Oh. So they actually have a campus as well, but they have a fully online program.
They advertise like crazy on TV. Holy crap.
Yeah, they're still not for profit, just so you all know.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's not one of those for-profit scamming places.
But, WGU, a lot of them are great. There's nothing wrong with those.
My husband's going to be getting his master's completely online. But again, so a lot of these really credible universities that have campuses also have a full-on online option for degrees. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yep. Anyway.
So you can look at that option as well. So look at every university because you don't know. They may have an online program that would fit your need. Most universities have that.
All right. Let's do one more question.
Okay.
Has either of you kept your starter home as a rental property? Are there any downsides to this plan that we aren't seeing?
That's a great question. So I have not kept a starter home as a rental property. A couple of reasons. One, I move a great distance away usually, and I always weigh the pros and cons of managing that from a distance.
Yeah.
So I do have a designated rental property right now that's in Georgia, and I live in Tampa, and I have a management company that is, I think, doing a great job with it.
If you're not hearing anything, I guess that's good.
Well, I mean, the first couple of months you hear a whole bunch of things like, oh, my light switch cover is loose, you know, and you're like, are you serious? I have to send someone out there for $100 to fix tighten a screw. But so things like that happen when a new renter moves in, but normally they're good. I last had lived in Wisconsin and I knew I was only going to be there for a little over a year. So you don't get the tax benefit of your, just so everyone knows, in order to not have to pay tax on capital gains when you sell a house, it has to be your primary property where you're living. And you have to have lived there 2 out of the last 5 years. Mm. So I knew I wasn't going to meet that 2-year threshold. And I wasn't going to sell it. I was planning to rent it out after we left. But the market had increased so much that I weighed the finances. It would take me so long to make as much money renting as I could just selling it outright right then and there. Mm. Gotcha. So that's something to think about is like, look at the values, how much has it increased and how long would it take you to increase your profit doing the rentals? Because remember, you probably still have a mortgage on it, right? Mm-hmm. Unless you own it outright. So you have to subtract the mortgage plus putting money aside for all capital improvements. Like when are you going to need a new roof? You never know when a water heater is going to break down. You never know when you need a new furnace, all those things. So all those things are a big hassle and unknown financials that you have to have a big savings account to cover. Versus for me, selling the house in Wisconsin was, okay, let me take my cash and run right now and not have that ongoing potential gotcha. Headache.
Very good. I have not done it. So I have no, and I'm not a rental property person yet. I do want to start that, but I don't have a lot of knowledge in that. That's why I have Amanda around.
Well, we could always do one together, Craig.
We should have a Rock on the Money rental company. All right. So let's hit this topic. I don't want to spend too much time on it since we already talked about Chuck E. Cheese. Back in early March, when the stock market was starting to tank, we went online live and we told everybody, we came up with this plan to take the baby steps, modify them for people that are in baby steps 1, 2, and 3 going into this because we didn't know what was going to happen. We saw this COVID-19 coronavirus. They were calling coronavirus back then. And we were unsure about people losing their jobs. People were suddenly getting laid off. It was like rapidly changing. So yeah, we told everybody.
It's still the novel coronavirus, which leads to the COVID-19
right.
disease. It's kind of like HIV leads to AIDS, right?
It took a while for everybody to get on the same term about where we're at. So so we came up with this list. It's a simple list. We told everyone to pause the baby steps. And if you're, you know, baby step one is $1,000 anyway.
Breaks.
But if you're paying off debt, we wanted you to pause it. Anyway, so what I saw this past week about mortgages and people getting laid off and how the airlines are heading and all these other things are not getting better. Thanks to Florida. Because
that moratorium on foreclosures and rent and evictions is over.
Right? Yeah, because it's been over 90 days now. So now here's some stats that I heard this past week. So last Friday on the June 26th, we learned how COVID was beginning to take a toll and everything. So the number of active mortgage forbearance plans rose by 79,000 in the past week, erasing half of the improvement we've seen at the peak of May 22nd. So we're going in the opposite direction. Does that sound familiar with COVID and the hotspots? We're going the wrong direction now. Yeah. Things are turning the opposite way. Increases happened every day for the past 5 business days. This would be last week. And as of last Tuesday, 4.5 million homeowners were in forbearance plans, allowing them to delay their mortgage payments and for the last 3 months. This represents almost 10% of all active mortgages, up what, like 8.7% from the previous week. Here's another thing I heard. Did you hear this? I don't have it written down, but I swear I heard something about 30% of all mortgages out there. Those people are behind on their payments by at least 1 month right now. I just heard that the other week. I didn't jot it down, but it was on like
CNBC. That's one of three. So it's either you or one of your neighbors on either side of you.
I just heard that stat. And I should have written down with a reference to it, but it was on CNBC. I'm like, 30%? That's a lot of people. And I don't know what the previous number was. So let me just go back through these baby steps, this modified COVID plan we have, and then you can comment on this, Amanda, what you're thinking, because it sounded like you were happy I brought this up.
I am.
This is the plan, and I keep reposting in our Facebook group. So number one, we want to pause paying off all the debt under baby step two, but we're still making the minimums. We're not going to stop paying. We're going to just do the minimums because the whole purpose of that is we want to build up our savings account. We want to contact all of your lenders if you want to do this, okay? Contact them. If you really need the money, request deferments, okay? You can still do all that. And this is really important, Amanda. What I'm hearing is the creditors want to hear from you. Ignoring them apparently is a really bad idea.
Yeah, I mean, definitely try and work with them. I mean, they are people working for a company as well. And you give them a call. Everyone knows what's going on right now.
Absolutely. This
it's
is no
not going to be news to them that people are struggling.
And I've heard several big like Visa, Chase, they came out and said, look, we want to hear from you. We're willing to work with you, but we need to hear from you about your situation. Not calling is a bad idea. Now,
here's the thing. They'd rather be getting some money on a smaller payment plan or, you know, make a plan to get some of their money now versus having you default or go into foreclosure, because then they get nothing except a big headache on their hands of trying to collect.
It's a lot of paperwork for them, a lot of work, and it costs them money. They would.
They don't want to put you in collections any more than you want to be in collections.
No. And here's the other thing. If you don't need to do this, don't do it. There's a lot of people that are doing that forbearance thing, Amanda, even though we just talked about it. They'll do it because they don't want to pay for 3 months.
Yeah.
Even though they can pay. That's not what it's for. Okay. Right. Then after we do that, we want to create a budget that Amanda has spoken about a zillion times out there. And we want to look for all of the waste, the subscriptions. If you're taking classes, can we cut back on that? Especially since you can't go to classes. You're at home.
Yeah.
Parties, going on outings. What are all the things that you're spending money on that you can really not be paying for right now? And you shouldn't be paying for a lot of that now anyway. Like right now, I'm paying for parking at an airport near me. I just realized.
Sorry, that made me laugh really hard.
I'm paying like $40 a month for parking at BWI Airport.
Not going to go back to work there for at least 18 months.
Yeah. So I have to go to training in 2 weeks for it's our annual recertification thing. I'm like, I'm taking that pass. I'm like, can you take me off this? I'm wasting $40 a month for something I'm not going to use till 2022. That's when I go back. I don't even know what's going to happen in 2022.
Let me just see here. $40 a month times 18. Ooh. So between now and then, you'll spend $720.
Oh my God. I got to get rid of that. If I need to fly, I'll just pay for the parking myself. It's cheaper. Yeah. We want to stockpile all the extra money that we would have been paying on top of the bills for baby step two when we're paying off our debt. We want to stockpile that money into the bank account. And we've talked about Ally and Marcus by Goldman Sachs.
There are other ones out there too.
These are the ones that we like. And we want to put that money away. And that's going to be our big bucket emergency fund in case we're not getting paychecks for an extended period of time. Remember that $600 a month unemployment check that people are getting? No, I'm sorry, $600 a week.
A week, yeah.
That it's about stops. 10. July.
People are going to fall off an income cliff real hard.
July 24. It's not the end of the month. It's July 24.
Oh, so that's my brother and my father's birthday.
A lot of states are now taking the unemployment money back because they're, well, they're out of money, number one. The end of July is going to be very, very interesting with unemployment, Amanda, because people are still filing. That didn't stop. And we still have people out there that don't have work. And Congress has a 2-week vacation after July 3rd and the first week of August. And
well, aren't they lucky?
And they're not working on anything. We keep hearing articles about their talking, but they're not moving on anything. So this week, they're going on vacation for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And then so again, 2 weeks after that, they're going. Cash. So do not count on the government here till September, if anything. Even
I
a
wouldn't
check.
Count on them at all.
No. The second stimulus check or whatever we want to call it is not going to happen until September.
If at all.
If at all. Well, there is an election coming up, Amanda. So once we are in the clear, a.k.a. vaccine, at this point, that's what I'm just going to say. When we have a vaccine and we see everything's good, then we're going to take that big stash of cash. We're going to go back through the baby steps and we're going to start paying off all of those, the debts, the consumer debt that we have.
Yeah.
And you should
be able
march
to throw
right through
piles
that.
Of money towards those debts and clear them out. Clear the board.
Yeah. And here's what I have a concern about. All this could change around November, December. Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You have this big stash of cash and then Christmas shows up. That's the Christmas fund.
Right.
We're going to have to talk about that later because, you know, Christmas is just 6 months away.
Yes.
It was last week. I said, oh, it's June 25th. And I do all my Christmas shopping at the end of, I know this is crazy, the end of August, September, which isn't that far away. So
I should start making my Christmas list for you now, is what you're saying.
It might be a chair at the rate you're going. So then once we go back through your baby steps 1, 2, and 3 with your stash of cash, then you're going to know what baby step you're on. There is a chance, Amanda, you could be almost done with baby step 3. It depends on where you're at. But you could almost be debt. Well, you should be debt free. Could be. I don't know, based on your amounts. But you could be through in the middle of baby step 3 on your way to 4 and being debt free except for your mortgage, which is where you really want to be.
Yeah. So, can I just make one last comment on the stockpiling and stashing your cash? So that doesn't mean you stop making minimum payments.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So make the minimums. You're just not adding extra to the balance like you had been during the snowball.
Yeah. Very, very important. Let's take a quick break, and we have a savvy savings. It's not too long of one.
No,
it's nope. Quick. As long as I keep my mouth shut. What we got coming up on Savvy Savings?
We've got 7 ways to be a savvy shopper.
I like this. I really do. All right, we'll be right back. You're listening to Rock on the Money.
This podcast is sponsored by ChoiceRealtyConnect.com. Eliminate your stress. Whether you're buying or selling your home, be sure you are working with an expert in your local area. ChoiceRealtyConnect.com will match you with up to 3 qualified, licensed agents that specialize in your specific market. Choice Realty Connect serves every zip code in all 50 states with a network of over 15,000 top-rated agents that are ranked within the top 5% for sales. Whether you're looking for a condo, new construction, fixer-uppers, mountain retreats, vacation properties, or a first-time home buyer, let Choice Realty Connect match you with the perfect top agent today. Choice Realty Connect is who I trust, and I know you will too. ChoiceRealtyConnect.com. The choice is yours.
Rockland, USA!
Listening to Rock on the Money with Craig and Amanda. Great podcast. You should listen to it. You're probably listening to it right now. We're going to be doing a lot of changes here. It's a good time to make changes over the summer. I think you guys are going to like it, including TikTok.
TikTok.
Our audience probably isn't even on TikTok.
I'm not, but that shouldn't be a surprise since I'm hardly on Instagram.
Well, I was until I realized the Chinese were like stealing everything. But,
oh, yeah. I warned you of that.
Yeah. Well, I stopped. I was doing all those lip syncs and stuff. But it turns out, Amanda, we'll get to your segment here in a second. with 63% of Americans financially illiterate, which is why we do all this, TikTok has started an initiative to do financial literacy on TikTok.
Interesting.
And there's a hashtag that we can use if we make these short little videos, little tidbits, or answer questions quickly on TikTok to teach the younger people about financial literacy. So I'm going to take a lot of these simple questions that we get, and I'm going to do little TikTok videos. They're not funny, but apparently they want to be like YouTube and have little educational videos on everything from cooking to whatever. So they really want to take on YouTube, apparently. So I'm going to start taking some of these little tidbits and moving them over to TikTok.
Sounds good.
It doesn't replace anything that we're doing here. Just try and expand our audience to the younger generation who really does need financial. It's not being taught in the schools. So if this
really
is a chance that
need.
We could. What's that?
Who really do need.
Yeah. Apparently only 6 states require high school students to take personal financial course. You believe that? Only 6. I send letters regularly to Maryland, by the way. They're probably getting tired.
I bet you're sending more now that you have nothing to do.
That's a good idea. I should do one a day. That would be cool if I get to testify in front of Maryland and say, Rock on the Money is here, baby. Yeah. Anyway, Savvy Savings.
Okay, so full disclosure. Craig put this list together for me because I've been so busy.
Is it that bad? Is it that?
I don't know. So we're going to learn about it together.
I was trying to help out Amanda this week because she's been extremely busy. And here's something. Just seriously, I'm very grateful that you're doing this with me because I know you have like how many jobs? 18, I think, is the last count I had. So I know you get busy.
If you guys hate this segment, it's Craig's fault. If you love it, it's my doing.
This podcast, everybody, is the last thing Amanda needs to be doing. So if I can help her out with this really bad Savvy Savings, I'm here. So okay. Yes, blame
all right,
me,
so let's
everybody.
Get into the list. Yes. 7 ways to be a savvy shopper.
You'll like number one.
Number one. I actually love this one. Buy nothing.
Yeah. That's how you save money. Don't buy it.
Yeah, don't buy anything. So many times not buying anything at all will save you more than buying something on sale. I don't know why you said many times. I would say 100% of the time.
Well, you say nothing's definitive. I'm trying to be better about that.
I guess there would be a situation like if you have something that is on its last leg and you're spending more repairing it than buying new or replacement, then that might be the case. Mm-hmm. See, I can always think of at least one example that breaks the absolute rule.
I have gotten so much better about buying where I don't buy anything.
Yeah.
I mean, I just let it roll. I'm like, whatever. I don't need that stuff anymore. But I used to buy a lot of stuff. I was a bad shopper. So
clearly, because you have a house full of things that you can now sell on eBay.
Oh, I make so much money off this stuff I never used.
Okay. That's a topic for another day.
Yes.
Number 2, consider all your options. So instead of purchasing something, you could make it, mm-hmm. Get crafty. You could look for something used or gently used. We've talked before about Facebook Marketplace, Craigslist, garage sales. What else?
Thrift stores. What's that one free? I can't remember the site. It's a place where you can find free stuff that people just want to get. They're not even selling it. Freester?
I don't remember.
Anyway, but there's a lot of places you just get stuff for free. People just leave it out in the driveway and take it. So
another way you could. Another thing you could do is fix something you already own or, decide that you can do without it.
Yep.
You could use a less expensive alternative or a generic or house brand item instead. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All right. Number 3, research large purchases. Oh, this is so important. So apparently you need to get a subscription to Consumer Reports.
We should be sponsored by them for crying out loud. Well, they are a nonprofit, so they don't have advertising. So
yeah. So you don't have to study every loaf of bread, obviously. But if you're thinking of buying an appliance, an automobile, a computer, all these large purchases, it can be well worth your time to familiarize yourself with the most reliable and best rated products.
Amanda, I think out of everything on this list, that one thing. Consumer Reports, I do whatever they tell me to do for the last, I don't know how many years, 30, 40 years. And because I do that, I mean, I have no way to measure it, but I don't have things break except for the Samsung crap that I bought for my kitchen, which I did not research. I don't know why I bought that. I think because it looked good. big mistake, but not rated well. But my cars, everything else that I do what they tell me to do, because they don't break, I don't spend the money from my emergency fund or whatever. And I think that is really a way to save money long-term. Long-term mindset is buy the correct thing in the beginning. May not be the cheapest, but it's the most reliable in your shot. Long-term is it will work for you. That's my
All right, speech. Next, keep a list. If it's more than two items, write them down. So writing things down while you're at home helps you to not forget them when you're at the store. So that saves you trips, time, and money. And this is especially true for day-to-day purchases. I mean, we do this here. We keep like a running list on the counter of things that we either run out of or think that, oh, yeah, we need to pick this up the next time we're out. Lists of larger purchases or potential can help you distinguish between needs and wants. So if you're in the store and you're thinking about, well, what do we really need? Or you have a plan, a menu plan like we talked about before, then you can make your list generate your list based off of what you're planning to make versus just putting a bunch of things in your cart that you're going to figure out later how to put together. Let's see. A list can be a good place to leave things you're still considering. So you may learn more about a particular item or decide you don't need it later on. I do this with my Amazon like wish lists, or I do the save for later button on Amazon things. If I'm researching it and I, you know, still haven't decided, because, you know, I'm notorious for that. I think about things after I've already decided I kind of want it. So
as you were talking, I was thinking about that because now you have your echoes everywhere in your house.
Yeah.
I do this with my Google stuff because I have an Android phone. I tell it to make my list and then it's on my phone. Have you ever done that yet? It took me, it really took discipline to start doing it, but it's so helpful because these things are everywhere in the house. I just say it and then my list is always on my phone now.
I'll have to give it a try.
I still have the pen and paper, but I'm trying to do the electronic thing and it actually works really well. Anyway.
So number five, know what is a good price. So for items you buy routinely, such as groceries, watch the ads and know what good prices are and what very low sale prices are. You can keep a notebook with prices at different stores if that helps. For items you purchase less frequently, do a price comparison. So you can call or shop around to a few different stores or look online too, but don't forget to figure in the extra cost of shipping or taxes. Anytime we do a larger purchase or anything like basically over $50, I guess, we always compare at least two to three different stores for prices. Stick to the list. So stores go out of their way to put basic items in the back so that you have to wander past prominently placed colorful bargains. I mean, think of what Costco does.
Yeah.
All the food that you really go there for is way in the back of the store. If you didn't need junk food, colorful sandals, or an extra 100-foot extension cord when you were at home, you don't need it in the store, even if it looks like a great deal. You know, even the hardware stores like Lowe's and Home Depot are notorious for putting those big bins by the... Yeah. And you're like, oh, I guess I really do need a new set of ratchets. And I can't think of one.
No, they do that. It's at the end of every aisle as you're heading towards the checkout. And they put all those bargains right there on the ends.
With giant size, save $100.
Yeah.
Yeah. So stock up, be selective about what you stock up on though. And we talked about this before, but bulk pricing can get you a good deal. But if you end up with 25 pounds of flour and you never bake, it's not really a good deal. And buy in bulk if you use it. And if you use it somewhat quickly, because some things do go bad, it will last long enough for you to use it if you have the space to store it. And if the price is really better than you'd get buying a more moderate quantity.
How's that jug of mayonnaise you have that you talked about? And we
There's
learned
barely
about
a dent in it.
Remember, you talked about recently, like a couple weeks ago, about the brown rice. Lasts like, what'd you say? It was a lot less than white rice.
Yeah, and ketchup even goes bad.
Stuff like
Just a reminder, I accidentally got a large jar of mayonnaise because I ordered online and wasn't paying attention to the ounces.
That's for our new listeners. It was like four or five episodes ago.
It's not as if I intentionally bought a gallon of mayonnaise for a household that rarely uses mayonnaise at all.
It'll be jelly before you know it. So
I don't even like mayo that much.
I get Miracle Whip. I'm a Miracle Whip guy.
I do prefer Miracle Whip as well, but my husband hates it.
Well, I get it because the calories and fat are much less in Miracle Whip than mayonnaise. That's where that started.
Taste.
Yeah, I love it. It's like salad dressing, but all right. Well, thank you very much, Amanda. That was great.
Right.
Mayonnaise. You can find Amanda on Instagram and Twitter at Agile Amanda. And you can find me on all of your favorite social media platforms at Rockland USA. Don't forget to check out the website and subscribe to the podcast. All the links are right there on the front page, rockonthemoney.com. Please subscribe and leave comments to our podcast on Apple, Google, Spotify, or even your favorite app that you got right there on your phone. Those help us out a lot. If you're ever looking for a specific topic or content that we've produced over time, just go to the website and in the search bar, just type in your topic, be it 401k, stimulus check, or anything, and everything comes right up for you. We have so much gratitude that you've taken the time out of your day to listen to our podcast while you're walking, driving, traveling, or whatever you're doing. Please send us an email. Let us know how you're doing out there. Podcast at rocklandusa.com. So long, everybody. Thank you very much again. We'll see you again next time. All opinions expressed by the host are solely their own and do not reflect the views of any company, affiliates, or advertisers. Investments or strategies mentioned in the show may not be suitable for you. Before acting on any information in the show, you should consider whether it is suitable for your particular circumstances and strongly consider seeking advice from your own financial or investment advisor.